Romans chapter 5, and we'll read a few verses beginning with verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. I want to preach to you for a little while this evening on this subject, the uselessness of a universal love. The uselessness of a universal love. True religion is useful for the believer. Everything that concerns Christ, every word of the Bible, everything that concerns our future home in heaven is useful for the believer. Oftentimes we'll involve ourselves with things that are useless, things that hold no value, you know, whatsoever, as far as our spiritual person is concerned. But when it comes to the Word of God, we find useful teachings. And we find the usefulness of being a child of God. Our text declares that. I believe as Paul speaks to the Romans concerning the love of God that has been shed abroad in the hearts of those who trust Christ, those who are the elect of God, those whom the Holy Spirit of God has worked in their lives and at the present time still is. The love of God. Now, the love of God is one of the greatest and most misunderstood doctrines of all the Word of God. So many of our people are confused about the love of God. Now, we admit it sounds good. And I'm sure it sounds good to the sinner, the unsaved sinner, that God loves everybody. That sounds good, doesn't it? To the human nature, that sounds like, you know, the way things ought to be. I have people tell me quite often, you know, this is what I think about God, and this is what I think about the Bible, and this is the way I think it is, and this is the way I think it ought to be. Well, naturally, the natural sinner is going to think that God owes him love and will even demand of God that he be loved by him. But the truth of the matter is, the Bible does not teach that. The Bible does not teach a universal love, and even if it were true, what good would it be? What good would it be if it was universal? That's what we're going to look into for a little while this evening. That's the most popular view as far as the love of God is concerned. Webster's dictionary says, concerning universal, it means to include all of the whole of something, specified, not limited, not restricted. That's what universal means. I'm not telling you anything new. I'm just stating that's what the dictionary says. Without exception, everyone included, every person of all time, every human being that's ever walked the face of the earth has been loved by God, according to some. Well, for those who are saved, for those who are in heaven, that means a lot, doesn't it? For those who are in heaven, that means everything. If you don't know the Lord here this evening, I'm telling you by experience that the love of God means everything to me. He loved the unlovable when He loved me. He loved the one who searched Him not out. He loved one who rebelled against Him. He loved one who was in defiance to Him. He loved one who even at times tried to harm the work of God. Boy, He loved an evil man when He loved me. But He did. I'm going to experience the benefits of that love throughout all eternity. What about the unsaved? If He loved them, what about them? What good does that do them if they die and fall off into hell and suffer forever? What good would God's love be to them? You say. It's something we must think about when we think about this subject. A love without effect is useless. You know, among humans, we found that out down through life. You know, so I love you, I love you. How many times do people say that? Every day, I love you. And then they turn right around and do something that is just the opposite of what they're saying. You know, some man may leave the house in the morning and kiss his wife goodbye and say, I love you. And then go on down the street and find him another woman. What good is that? He might as well have just kept his mouth shut. He might as well never uttered those words. He didn't believe that. He didn't practice that. But what good is it for God to love all and there be no effects for the majority of them? No effects concerning that love whatsoever. It's useless. The universal love idea does not have any effect or produce any result on the lives of millions of people. And all those that are in hell today, supposedly loved by God. What good is it? They can't in hell congregate with one another and talk about the love of God and tell how they've experienced the love of God or anything like that. You and I, on the other hand, all eternity, we'll talk about the love of God. And we'll talk about how the love of God is what has brought us unto heaven in the presence of God. And all that we enjoy in heaven forever will be because of the love of God. So, to talk about the love of God in hell, that would be a useless thing. And trust me, it doesn't happen. In hell, one realizes. They come to the realization that God, did not love them. Neither will they experience any of love's provision forever. The love of God is limited and restricted. Romans chapter 8, you turn over just a little bit further, and there we find more concerning the love of God in verse 28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? God that justified. Well, how'd that all come about? Well, in verse 28, he begins talking about the love of God. Well, you say, well, that's us loving Him. Well, the fact is that we love Him because He first loved us. All things, as far as we are concerned, begin with the love of God. It was the love of God who caused the Father to send His own Son. Die in our stead. Suffer in our stead. Suffer our hell in our stead. And give us eternal life. Love. It was the love of the Son that caused Him to be willing to come and willing to die and willing to suffer that you and I might have all things. All the greatness of the love of God. How matchless that is. You and I have never seen any kind of human love that even comes close to that. I know parents love their children. Children love their parents. Spouses love one another as much as a human can. But I'm talking about God's love. God's love is not to be compared with human love, and it's the love of God that has caused all of these effects and all of these benefits as far as His children are concerned. So if God loves all people, whether they're saved or not, whether they'll ever enter heaven or not, then I say that that kind of love, as far as the majority of the world is concerned, is a useless love. Didn't do Pharaoh any good, did it? Didn't do Cain any good. Didn't do all those people outside of the ark any good. The Bible declares that. Useless for them. But oh, how valuable for His people. Matter of fact, the world and all things in it was created out of God's love for His people. For His people. He's created all things. He's done all things. He's purposed all things for His people and the glory of God in saving them. God has gone so far, as far as His love is concerned, that there's nothing that you and I could mention this evening. Concerning this world, concerning the people of the world, concerning ourselves, does not involve the love of God for His people. You know, every situation we might go through has to do with the love of God. Did we not start out reading that all things work together for good? Why is that? Because He loves us. You know, the love of God is real. The love of God is personal. Many can't understand that. The world can't understand that. The personal love relationship between the believer and God. But it's true. It's real. It's real. And all that you and I will ever experience in this life will never be driven from or separated from God. But His loving arms are wrapped around us at all times and shall be until he draws us home one day and delivers us there before the throne of grace in heaven. And in joy and in a loving tone, here is my dear child. John 3:16 speaks of the effects of the love of God. This gets quoted all the time. I don't think people really understand it. I think some people just think that's what you put on a sign when you go to a football game. You know, you see that a lot, don't you? You and I know what this verse means. For God so loved the world, not the sin of the world that he loved, not the reprobate did he love. For God so loved the world, I believe the world of his elect. God so loved us. And you can replace that with your name this evening and feel the personal message here. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The love of God is so valuable to the child of God because it's not just left up in the air. It's just not out there somewhere and God is waiting for someone to latch on to that. And we hear stories of people being in love, maybe in high school, and one afraid to say anything. And they run into each other years down the road. Oh, I loved you in high school. I loved you more than you'll ever know in high school. But I just afraid to tell you. I didn't know how to tell you. I didn't know how you'd react and all this. You know. Well, that makes pretty good stories. God's love is not like that. God sent his own Son to die for our sins and then didn't just leave it up in the air. Notice that, but he gave us faith to believe in him. He gave us faith. Faith cometh by the hearing of the Word of God. Faith cometh by the power of the Spirit of God. It's not mustered up in man, but God grants it. God gives it. So God does everything. God assures every detail as far as our being saved. We had to have that phone to get down to Caraway, down North Carolina. Turn left, turn right. Not just going down there on that little trip. How are we going to get to heaven? How are you going to get to heaven? I've asked sinners that. I've asked sinners, well, I'm all right to go to heaven. I said, well, how are you going to get there? And you know, I've never had anybody give me an answer. Nobody will give you an answer. They can't answer. How do you get to heaven? Where is heaven? Where do you start out? How do you get there on your own? Through faith in Jesus Christ, that's how you get to heaven. And God's love will provide for that. He has provided the way and the truth and the life, the Lord Jesus Christ. He has provided every detail. He has died for your sins as a believer, and you stand faultless before God in heaven, every detail taken care of, and even provided you a place to stay in heaven. Now that's love. That's love. Dan Phillips used to sing, if that isn't love, then the ocean's dry. I guess it is. If that isn't love, I don't know what love is. That's God's love. Love always provides for its recipients. No believer has ever, nor shall he ever lack in the love of God. None. We're not all the same. We look different. We dress different. We talk different. And we act different. Some of us are more lovable than others are. Some people are just hateful, you know. Some people I dread talking to, they're just hateful all the time. And it's hard to like them. And I've even said, you've said, I don't like so-and-so. I don't like to be around. All the love of God causes us to love Him, and the love of God causes us to desire Him and to serve Him and to think about Him and pray through Him and do all of these things that the believer is enabled to do. The love of God provides for its recipients. 2 Corinthians 5:14, you can write these down. 2 Corinthians 5:14, the love of God constrains us. You know why you're not as wild as you could be? We're still in the flesh, aren't we? We still got this old flesh. And you know why that you don't go out and do things that sometimes you think about doing? And you know why you don't leave the truth of the Word of God and wind up some down here somewhere in some church that preaches against the truths of God? It's the love of God that constrains you. It constrains you in those things that you might do and those things that you could do. It constrains you in such a way that you cannot not love God anymore. It's constraining that love is. Ephesians 3:17 talks about the love of God grounding us. Keeping us where we ought to be. Grounded. But a believer needs to be grounded in the beginning of their Christian life, grounded in the truths of the Word of God, and then rely upon God to keep them there. 2 Corinthians 13:11 says that the love of God gives us peace and fellowship. Peace and fellowship. Isn't it something how a bunch of sinners can wind up being placed together and get along and love one another and worship God? You know, I thought that was a pretty strange thing when I said I didn't want to be around those old Christians. I didn't have any thing in common with them. I'll tell you, the Lord did a work in me, and all of a sudden I loved them all. And people I couldn't stand, I loved them. And instead of trying to get away from them, I wanted to be around them all the time. It's the love of God that does that. It's the love of God that calls His family together and causes His family to have something in common. You'll notice most of the time we might get along better with our church family than we do our earthly family. We just got something in common, and that commonality is Jesus Christ, our Savior. It's what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4:9 that He causes us to love one another. And then He chastens us. because he loves us. He'll give us a good whooping sometimes because he loves us. Isn't that why you whip your children? I don't think you just like to beat on them just for the fun.
You shouldn't.
No, when they get out of line, when they're doing things that's going to harm them, doing things that they can really get hurt, well, what do? You take care of the problem. You chasten them. That's what God does. Because he loves us. He doesn't chasten the whole world. You know all that sin that's going on out there? All the sin that's in the world, the wicked and vile things that are going on, all those people aren't being chastened of God. But now he'll chasten his people. And if you're one of his, you have been. You have been if you're one of his. He's taking care of the problem in your life. Because he loves you. Because when you get to heaven, he wants the best for you. When you get to heaven, he wants you to have a full reward in serving him. He's concerned about those crowns and all that. He loves us. He loves us enough to do all things that are necessary. Well, which love sounds like the best love? You've heard what the Bible says about the love of God. You've heard what the world says about the love of God. You've seen the world's example concerning the love of God. Hell and all of its destruction. Which sounds the best? Which sounds biblical? Which sounds God-honoring? That God loves all people without limit? Or that God loves and provides for those whom he loved and chose from all eternity? I say the latter. A universal love has no promise whatsoever. I mean, I can tell you right now, if God loves you, you're going to heaven. And he's going to watch out over you in this world. And he's going to take care of you. And he's going to provide for you. I can give you all kinds of promises. Biblical promises concerning the love of God. But this universal love, I couldn't promise that, could I? I couldn't promise that because you might fall back into sin, lose your salvation, and die and go to hell. There's no promise there. No, there's a promise in truth. And the truth concerning love is that love is eternal and love is effectual and love is the extension of the nature, the true nature of God. A universal love has no hope. A universal love has no action or cause. It's just something that is thrown out there. You know, just thrown out there. Not knowing what's going to happen. That's not God's love. A universal love has no Bible. There's never been a man stand behind the pulpit, or a woman, I guess, in these days, stand behind the pulpit, go over to this chapter and this verse and prove a universal love. Maybe in their minds they have, but they've never done. It's not that. The universal love of God is a lie. It's an illusion. Yeah. Boy, it sounds good, and people latch on to it. They want to believe. I'm thankful that God has shown us His love in the Bible and through experience. I don't understand your love between one another and what attracted you all to one another as spouses and all that. It's something that happened. But I know something about the love of God through experience because He loved me. I know that. And I know in my life that I didn't deserve it. In my life, I did nothing to earn it. You know, I know that from experience. And to say otherwise, I'd just be lying. And I'm sure you can attest to the same thing. Well, something for us to think about and rejoice in. And when the sad days come, we can say, God loves me. He does. And then everything's going to be all right. Thank you.
That's a good message, Jeff. I think about that when we was down in Georgia. That's just the culture down in Georgia for everybody to say, I love you. That's how they say goodbye. And we was down there and somebody had just done something pretty mean to me and Crystal. And just out of habit, as they were walking away from us, I said, well, love you, bye. I thought, well, how worthless. That, you know, at first, when we first moved down there, we thought, well, what loving people, they just say I love you all the time. But it was worthless. It didn't mean anything because they didn't truly love. What's it mean if you know, God's love means something? That was a good message. Well, let's stand and be dismissed with a word of prayer.